Hello, you are listening to English Roundtable. I'm Kevin, and today I am joined with Zane.
Hello.
How are you today, Zane?
Very well, thank you. Good to be in again.
Very good. Yes, thank you for coming. You are almost a staple for the podcast.
Well, I'm proud to be a staple. It's always nice to come in and talk about various things, so pleasure to be here.
Yes, very good. And today our topic is product placement. So we'll be deep diving into movies, commercials, television, and where these products might show up. And then I think at the end, you're going to actually show us some of your watch collection and maybe where some of those watches have shown up in movies.
Yeah, I think that could be a good way to finish off the segment today. So I've bought in a few watches. They're all Casio watches, of course. And I might ask you to maybe think back to which movies they might have appeared in.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right.
Well, let's get into it.
Okay, so
you've got a couple ideas I think you'd like to maybe
I was thinking about this segment, and I was going to think about, like, what things I can remember as a kid, like things that really stood out for me, and even things that before I even really knew what product placement even was.
Right.
So the first one that I was thinking about was Back to the Future.
Yes.
And Back to the Future 2, specifically. So is there anything that you think about in terms of product placement with Back to the Future?
Yes, I immediately think of Pepsi.
Yes.
Is that the one, right?
Yeah, Pepsi was definitely one of them. And that features pretty heavily.
Right.
So I think Michael J. Fox actually had a contract with Pepsi at some stage as well. Like, I think he was involved with their marketing or their advertising. But absolutely, yeah, Pepsi's all over the place.
Yeah.
In, I think, all of the movies, all of the series.
Right, right.
But certainly in number two, I can remember a lot of Pepsi products being shown.
Right.
I can also remember some Nintendo
products
as well. Like when they go into, I think it's the Cafe 80s, if you remember that place, and they're playing Nintendo games there.
Right,
So that's one thing.
Oh, wow, you're right. Now I'm thinking about Back to the Future. There's a ton of product placement.
There's a lot of product placement there, yeah.
Let's see, Toyota in the first one.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
That's like his dream truck that he wants.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's the Toyota Tacoma or something like that, pickup trucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So that's definitely in there.
Mattel. With the hoverboard.
That was the one that I was thinking about. Mm. And that is something that Mattel actually released afterwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that wasn't actually a thing because obviously it's in the future, so they didn't actually have a real hoverboard.
Yeah, of course.
But they did actually go back afterwards and release
just the board.
One of those. Yeah.
So I want one bad.
Yeah.
I just want to have it on my
wall. Yeah, absolutely. I'd love one. They're pretty pretty highly prized these days by collectors. So yeah, Mattel actually did. I think it was an official Mattel release.
That's so funny because it's just a board, right?
Yeah.
You can't really do anything.
Wouldn't have been taken too much to manufacture, I don't
think. Exactly.
It's a lump of plastic, basically. Exactly. But I guess it's all in the nostalgia for people. Yeah. So I believe that was released like quite a bit after the movie when people started to sort of realize, hey, I wouldn't mind one of those.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
Why not cash in on that?
Right.
So that's kind of like almost like a reverse product placement,
really,
like it was in the movie, but then the real thing was released afterwards.
So. Reminds me of like Home Alone 2 and the Talk Boy.
Yeah, that was another one I was
had
thinking
one of those.
About.
I've got one actually.
Oh,
still,
really?
Yeah.
You've got a Talk Boy. Yeah, nice.
I had an original, and then I don't know what happened to it, but they re-released it many, many years ago, and I got one then.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those are pretty collectible too.
So, I love the Talk Boy.
Yeah, that was a great thing. So my understanding was that was made for the movie, and
right,
I don't think
it
was an actual product at the time.
You're right.
Either.
Yeah, they released it in line with the movie.
Yeah.
So they knew they would make money off of it.
Yeah, and what a fantastic thing that was. I mean, that's the highlight of definitely a few scenes I could remember, like the shower scene.
Yeah,
are there?
Right.
On Home Alone 2 as well, and I believe maybe even the first one, he was wearing Reebok pumps.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I was a fan of Reebok pumps back then.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because I saw them in Home Alone, but I was definitely a fan of that movie. So possibly influenced my love for that sneaker back then.
Yeah. And then to go back to Back to the Future, he had the Nikes.
That was the so thing I was also thinking about. Yeah, the Nikes, like in the future Nikes with like the self-lacing system. Yeah.
Oh, man. And, you know, they 2015, I think, they released a certain number, like a limited number of pairs of those. Oh, that's another dream.
Yeah. So I think that was because of Michael J. Fox's, it was connected with his Parkinson's charity or something like that.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I think it was a release that collaborated with that. Like, I think the proceeds went to that charity or something. But, oh, they just went out of control. I remember seeing those on eBay for sale and just going for thousands and thousands of dollars. But
that would be great to have. I would
love a pair of those.
I mean, I would wear them.
Yeah.
I know they're the kind of shoe that you would just keep away and store. Yeah, I'd wear
them. You'd have to put them on at least once, wouldn't you?
Oh, certainly.
I don't think they had the self-lacing system on those, though. Like on the actual ones that they released. Like they definitely were a one-for-one copy.
Yeah.
But I don't think they actually did that self-lacing thing. But they had like the lights and the other stuff on them. So that was the other one I was thinking of. For Back to the Future. Also, not really effective product placement, but the DeLorean itself.
I was going to say that, right?
Yeah. So that's a bit of an interesting one.
Yes, certainly.
Fantastic choice. I don't know why they chose it. DeLorean certainly wouldn't have been able to pay because by that time they were already bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't even a product that you could buy at that stage, but still featured in the movie.
Who knows?
Became a cult classic afterwards.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Have you ever been in one or seen one?
I have seen a few in the flesh.
Yeah.
There's one in Tokyo, actually, that I see driving around
sometimes.
And the number plate's like 1984, I think it is, or something like that. Cool. Yeah. So I've seen that a few times.
That's cool.
Driving around.
Yeah. I saw one time in the flesh, and this was when I was younger, but outside of the shopping mall that was in my town. Excuse me. My brother and I were outside waiting for our mother to pick us up.
Yeah.
You know, how it was
back in the
day.
Been there.
Yep. And we just happened to look over to part of the parking lot that was just completely empty.
Right.
And sitting, the only thing in the parking lot sitting there was a DeLorean.
Nice.
It was like magic happened.
Wow.
So, of course, we went over and the owner was there taking pictures of it.
Right.
So he actually let us like get in and look at it.
Oh.
It was really
cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
That was one of those magical moments. Like, you know, you just look over to your right and there's a DeLorean.
Oh, it's always an amazing thing to see one out in the flesh, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Only happened a couple of times to me. Not even a good car, which is the funniest part of that. Like, and the whole DeLorean story in itself, like that's something for another episode, perhaps. But that's a fascinating story.
Yes, I agree.
So we might have to delve into a bit later.
DeLorean.
back to the product placement. Like another movie that stood out for me because of the way they used product placement was in Wayne's World.
Yes, I was going to mention that. It was so funny.
So we're thinking along the same lines.
Yeah.
So that was, for me, that was kind of my introduction to how product placement actually worked by watching that movie. I'd never even thought about it before.
Mm.
I'd just always obviously seen products in movies, but never realized that that was actually an industry until the way that they actually showcased how it happens.
Yeah.
But I love that scene.
So ridiculous.
It's about a minute scene and they're eating the Pizza Hut. And then they zoom over to Garth and he's in the full Reebok like attire. He's got the Reebok pumps on, like everything's just Reebok, Reebok, Reebok. And he's like, yeah, what's with these people who just want to sell out? You know, some people will just do anything for money.
Right. The Doritos. But,
yeah, the Doritos. Yeah. And at the end of the scene, he goes, oh, my head hurts or something. And he goes, Tylenol or something like that. Little yellow different or something like that, like just a direct ripoff.
Oh, that's so good. If you haven't seen that scene, Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Funny movie, maybe 90s, I believe, is when it came out.
80s, yeah, I think not, 80s, like 80s, early 90s. Early 90s, I believe.
Yeah.
But that really changed the way that product placement could be put across. The way they did it in a humorous manner like that, but also the money they would have received from that,
exactly.
And just to highlight how product placement actually worked. So that was a highlight for me.
Yeah.
And I love the movie as well. So,
right.
That was another one. So Wayne's World also featured Reebok quite heavily, but they were with Pizza Hut and Pepsi
as well.
So Pepsi, Doritos, Pizza Hut featured throughout the movie.
So funny.
Seems like the colas, like Coca-Cola and Pepsi, are pretty prominent with this.
Yeah, I can imagine they definitely battle.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay the most be in a movie for product placement? Because, I mean, you know, those are the two major cola companies. So they have to kind of, fight for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine there would be millions and millions tied up just in endorsements and product placements just of colas alone.
I know.
It seemed like Pepsi was definitely offering to pay more, I suppose, in the 90s, because I remember seeing Pepsi more than Coke in the movies that I was watching.
Home Alone, another one.
Yeah. Yeah. So their marketing budget must have been huge in the 90s.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi. Just right there. Just straight up say it.
Yeah. Just some of the, so blatant, isn't it?
Really
now you
is.
Look back on it. As a kid, I didn't really tune into all of this.
Mm.
It wasn't until I saw that Wayne's World clip that I thought, hey, this is what's actually going on.
Mm, yes.
It's important moment there. Another movie I was thinking about while I was coming up with ideas about product placement, E.T.
Oh, Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
That's right.
Reese's Pieces.
That's right.
Like, that's how he, like, sort of poked him out, I think, with the Reese's Pieces. And that was quite blatant as well.
Yeah.
Like, it had the zoom up to it. As a BMX or a bike guy, the one that stands out for me is the Kuwahara bike that he had.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and that's actually in the movie poster.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, like the on the
when he's riding
the jacket. The shot of the moon.
That's right.
And that's the bike. So
man,
yeah, the Kuwahara bike. So And they've actually released an E.T. edition
of that.
So Kuwahara is still going.
Oh, wow.
And they've actually released numerous E.T. models. Even going as far as having a custom-made basket on the front.
Really?
That you can actually get, just like he had in the movie. So
I'll have to look for that one. That's
fun.
I like that a lot.
But I'm not sure if that sort of put them on the map in terms of BMX, or whether they were already a prominent company, or why they even went with Kuwahara, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because there's plenty of American bikes that they could have put in there. I
mean,
why not a Schwinn or a Mongoose or something like that?
Right, exactly.
To choose Kuwahara, I don't know, but they did. And
very interesting.
Yeah, those are the ones that stand out for me.
Yes,
most of all. So,
certainly.
What are your thoughts on product placement as a kid?
Yeah, same. I kind of had that moment of clarity whenever you mentioned Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Because kind of the same idea, how blatant and obvious it was they were making it, really did make me think, oh, okay, this is how it is.
Yeah.
This is how it works. So I think I had the same kind of moment you did.
Yeah.
With that movie.
It was an interesting scene, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I
really
recommend
is.
Everybody having a look at that scene. It goes for about a minute, easy to find on YouTube. But that's a fantastic highlight of how this industry actually works.
Yep.
So those are the main ones for me. The final one I was thinking about was the Bond franchise. So James Bond with his, for one, Aston Martin.
Yes,
featured very heavily, but they've also switched around sometimes. So sometimes he was driving a BMW.
Yep, that's right.
More recently, Heineken.
Oh,
so
really?
He's actually changed his drink, because it was always the martini.
Right.
Shaken, not stirred, or whatever he used to say.
Exactly.
But they've actually changed it in the movie to where he's drinking Heineken now and almost promoting it while he's drinking it.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I think they would have paid a lot to get that. To actually change a traditional thing in the movie.
Yes, exactly.
Quite strange.
Yeah, it makes me also think about, because you brought up cars.
Yeah.
You know, cars in TV shows and movies, like, they have to certainly, like, pay for that car, right?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. There's a lot of thinking to go into what cars the people are driving, that type of thing.
Yeah, because imagine you're making a movie and then that movie suddenly becomes huge. Whatever things you've used in that movie, be it cars or other props, they're obviously going to have an attraction to the fans as well. So if you're using a certain brand, it really does work. Like, it really does create interest in the product. So
yeah, that's true.
Cars would be a huge one.
Yeah, watches too.
Yeah,
you know, that's another big one, because I'm thinking of like, I think Christopher Nolan might have some deal with Hamilton watches.
Right.
Because that's very pretty prominent in a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen ads specifically focused on the movie for Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's probably got some sort of connection with them.
Yeah.
For a long time, Bond was using Rolex. Mm-hmm. So there was a definite connection with Rolex and the earlier Bond movies.
Yeah. Is it Omega now?
It is Omega now. Okay. Yeah. So as far as I know, still Omega. They did have a brief period where they were using Seiko watches.
Really?
Yeah, which was interesting.
Huh. Interesting.
So a few movies actually featured a lot of Seiko watches. Mm. There was one famous scene where he's got the Seiko TV watch, which was a real thing, and he's actually got it hooked up to a spy camera and he's watching what's going on on the TV watch. So Seiko got a bit of play there as well.
Yeah.
In the 80s, I believe.
And usually like his gadgets, something has to do with a watch, right?
That's right. So that's right.
You can really display
it. Yeah, yeah. So they feature prominently in a lot of scenes. Like that's a key piece of kit that he's actually using. So
yeah.
Yeah.
True. Oh, very interesting.
Those are the things that stood out for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Agree. More recently, things like shows like Stranger Things, for example. Just the whole thing is product placement. Like that's what I find interesting about Netflix. Oh, we don't have any ads. It's like, but your shows are just ads. They're just ads.
They really are. So what are some of the ones in Stranger Things? I haven't seen that in a long time.
I've never actually seen it myself, but I've seen clips on YouTube about the product placement in Stranger Things. The thing that stands out for me as an 80s kid myself is the Mongoose bikes.
Yeah.
So Mongoose actually released a Stranger Things special edition bike as well to tie in with that. KFC featured quite heavily. Coca-Cola.
Oh, I
see. So I guess Coca-Cola paid more than Pepsi in this case. But those are certainly some of the things. And also Lacoste.
Oh,
is
right.
Apparently featured quite heavily.
Interesting.
And I was just doing a little bit of a search on how much money was actually paid for the promotion in Stranger Things. And it was something like $30
million. Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know if that's for all of the series or just for some of the series, but serious money tied up in this product placement.
Amazing. So that makes me think about, you know, because Stranger Things is supposed to take place in the 80s.
That's right, yeah.
So all of these older movies, when you go from, like, let's say the 80s and then all previous, think about what the main shoe was. What do you think kids were wearing, say, the 60s, 50s?
Oh, Converse, maybe? Yeah.
That makes me think a lot of these movies and TV shows that take place in previous times, that's what kids were mostly wearing, right? So, I mean, whether they have to pay money or they're just trying to be realistic with the times of what the person was actually wearing, they're getting like product placement right there.
That's the thing. And I don't know how that system would work. Like if you're making a period movie, say in the 80s, would you just put all of that stuff in anyway?
Yeah.
Even if you weren't getting paid to.
Yeah, that's the question.
I'd like to know how the system would actually work. Or would they contact the company and think, well, we could either go with Coke or Pepsi because they were big in the 80s. So who will pay more?
and
we'll feature your product. So,
because Lacoste was very big
huge,
during that time. Members only jackets, those types of things.
Absolutely.
So surely they would have to pay them, I would imagine.
Yeah, but it's almost like, imagine you were a big company in the 80s. You could almost refuse to pay now, and it wouldn't be authentic unless your products were put in anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it'd be interesting to know the process of how they went about actually casting the potential items that they were going to put in there.
Yeah, so, that's a good question. That's something that would be fun to research
about. Yeah, and I don't know anything about that. But definitely with Stranger Things, obviously some brands did pay a lot of money to have their products put in there.
Right.
And then that led to this co-promotional marketing where you've got products putting in there, products put in, and then they'll then go on to release like Stranger Things promotional goods as well. So it sort of all ties in with each other. So they're getting pretty crafty about this product placement.
I really like the promotion of things that are just unique.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I read a few weeks ago, there's a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie coming out in August.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Pizza Hut, what they did is they just randomly gave, like, I don't know how many pizzas, but like in New York City, you could order a pizza, but you had to meet in the subway, and like
right.
they would just bring it to you in the subway. So you know, obviously,
it.
Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
yeah.
love pizza. They're in the
that
underground.
That's
so,
great.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So that kind of promotion is interesting to me, is the uniqueness.
Yeah.
That they'll do.
Because I remember Pizza Hut being involved with the original Turtles
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
I can remember a promotion at Pizza Hut
mm-hmm.
where if you got a meal deal or something, you could get these Ninja Turtles toys, and I was all over that. So.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. They don't really do that anymore.
No.
And that's something I feel kind of sad for the youth these days.
Yeah.
Because they don't, can experience that kind of uniqueness of
yeah.
getting some item or something.
It was amazing, wasn't
yeah,
it? And
yeah.
it was like that was happening all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these fast food chains would be connected with certain franchises. I remember Transformers was a big one.
Mm.
McDonald's was tied up with a lot of movies as well.
Yeah.
But the one that sticks out for me was the Ninja Turtles and Pizza Hut, because
yeah.
I was a fan of both when I was a kid. So
yeah.
perfect tie-in.
Yeah, so having grown up in America, I don't know if it's the same from where you grew up, but cereal was an also
yeah.
big cross-promotional
yeah.
for movies and TV shows. Like I can remember, you know, you would get a cereal box and on the back there would be a cutout where you can send in to get some sort of item. Like
yeah.
I remember when the first Mission Impossible movie came out for Corn Pops,
right.
the cereal, that you could, if you sent in like a certain amount of these codes or whatever,
yeah.
you could get a small keychain that was like a voice recorder.
Oh, nice. I would be all over that.
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff I used to love
yes,
and still do.
Yes.
So.
And it had, you know, Mission Impossible on it. And then, you know, you could record it. And then it had a little laser light.
Oh, it's got everything
you
need.
I think I've still got it somewhere.
Oh, man.
So,
yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Those
yeah, kinds of things are really interesting.
Yeah, I can imagine that being huge in the US.
Oh, yes. Very big.
We did have some things like that. Like I can remember promotions with cereal
mm-hmm.
as well. That was a big thing. And we did have a lot of the American brands. Like I think Kellogg's is American originally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they would often have movie tie-ins and things like that. So
yeah
similar, but probably nowhere near as wide as the US.
Yeah, that was
definitely
very
some.
Fun times.
Yeah, nothing like that these days.
No, I know. That's what I was thinking. It's just, it's kind of sad that
yeah.
you know, there's not that excitement for something tangible.
Yeah,
and
they'd probably have to worry about like kids choking hazards or something like that.
Right,
or,
well, there's
yeah,
that.
No,
very interesting. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to move on to your watches.
Absolutely.
That you
brought. Yeah, I think that's a good way to finish up. So I have three watches with me today. And I'll just show them one by one.
Okay.
They've all been featured in various movies. One watch has actually been featured in two movies. So,
Oh, and then, just to let everybody know, if you're just listening, jump on the YouTube for this episode because we're going to actually be showing these watches. So,
okay. So number one, I don't know how you want to actually go about this,
all
but,
right. We'll put it here.
Right.
Hopefully that'll be all right.
Okay, so number one, we have a Casio DW290. And just for context, this watch was released sometime in the mid-90s. I don't know exactly when. It's a hard one to research. They're still making it these
oh,
days.
Really?
That's one of the original ones. So the made in Japan one. I believe that's a Japanese-specific model. There was one in a very famous movie that was the same style, but instead of the gold lettering, it was green lettering.
Okay.
So I wonder if... I'd like to give you a hint, but I think if I do, you'll probably guess it right away. Very famous scene. It sort of involves breaking into somewhere. There's ropes involved and coming down from somewhere, coming down from the roof.
Have I already mentioned this movie?
You might have.
Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
All right, we got
yeah.
it.
I didn't want to give you too many clues because if I mention,
yeah.
you know.
Tom Cruise or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, if I say Tom Cruise. But that was the one that he wore in Mission Impossible.
Right.
So
the one he's got on his wrist
yeah,
when he's going down. Yep.
Yeah.
Now I can kind of see it.
Yep. Yeah.
Because before I had no idea.
Yeah. So featured definitely in a few scenes, but certainly in that scene where he comes down from the roof and
yeah.
almost falls on the ground and yeah. The most famous scene,
yeah,
I think. So
certainly.
Clearly visible in that scene. Casio still make this.
Mm-hmm.
They're still producing it now. So you can get one. And they're actually only about $40 or something.
Oh, okay.
So
not bad.
Not bad. Not bad for a bit of movie memorabilia.
Right.
So, yeah, that's that one there. And that was Mission Impossible. right. Which was released in 1996.
Yes, I remember seeing it in the movie theater.
Yeah, and fantastic, loving it. Fantastic movie.
Yes,
yeah.
And obviously, you know, I got the keychain, so I
was
a big fan.
You need the watch now to go with
that's
it.
Right.
So that's number one. Now, second one here. This will be a little bit difficult to display, so I'll just hand that over to you, and you can do what you need to do with it.
Okay.
So this is an older G-Shock. And this is one of, it's not the original model, but it's definitely very early on in terms of G-Shocks. And that was released in 1987. It's the DW5600. Now, that is featured in a number of scenes in a fairly popular movie. Now, once again, if I give you too many hints about it, let me just say Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
I don't know what else I could say without giving it away.
I'm just going to go ahead and say Speed.
Oh, nailed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
First try.
Yeah. So this particular model has actually earned the nickname of Speed, the Speed model.
Oh, really?
So it's that prominent in the movie, seen in a number of scenes. So Speed, released in 1994, I believe. But the watch is actually a lot older.
Oh,
so
really?
1987,
yeah,
that one
right.
came out. And that was kind of when G-Shock was just becoming huge.
Mm.
So very good promotion there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So this one might be a little more difficult, slightly left field. Another good movie that I'm a big fan of. I might have a couple of clues to give you on this one, but
okay.
That one there, I'll let you do something with that. Don't know if that will stand up too well.
Right.
But that one is the Casio DW5900. And that was released in around about 1992. So,
see?
Yeah.
It looks very familiar. So trying to place it is a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
I might need a hint.
Okay. I'll tell you one of the movies that it has been in, but it's not the main one that everybody associates with that watch. It's actually been in Bad Boys. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, which I didn't, I'd forgotten about that. Until I was just checking the dates today.
Right.
And then I found out, oh, yeah, it's actually been in Bad Boys as well. So that was one of the movies. But the movie that it's most known for, it's a Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
that helps a little bit. But I don't
worn
know.
By a rather big guy.
Okay. I'm going to say Big Lebowski.
Ooh,
and John Goodman.
You are doing really well.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, it was. So Walter was the character in Big Lebowski, and that watch is seen in a number of scenes. Like, he's wearing it the whole time, basically.
Right.
So that movie came out in 1998, but the actual watch was released in somewhere around 1992. So once again, there's a bit of a gap there, the same as the Speed model. So.
Well, I think that movie was supposed to be taking place in the earlier 90s. That's why. It wasn't to be present day.
Right. So that would be perfectly period correct then.
Yeah. Yeah. So that might be why they did
Somebody's done their research on that. Yeah.
Just a random fact that
I know. Yeah. No, I mean, like in the movie, like the prop department, like they've nailed it. If that's supposed to be early 90s, because that is a very, very early 90s Casio. Mm. First Casio with the tri-graph feature. So
yeah, that's
an important
very
model. Yeah, important model for Casio. So that is actually nicknamed the Walter.
Oh,
so
is it?
Yeah.
So we've got Speed and the Walter.
Speed and the Walter. I don't believe that one has a nickname, but
Cruise. How about that?
The Cruise. Okay, we've coined it.
There you go.
Yeah, so a little bit of promotional Casio goodness for you there.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And also you can showcase your Casio watches.
Gives me a chance to show off some Casios, which I'm all about. So
very nice. I liked it. And I always love enjoy the trivia behind it as well.
Wow, keeps it interesting.
Yeah, kind of like our show and tell episodes.
Yeah.
There's so much trivia.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of trivia in there is always good, I think. So
certainly agree.
There's so much history just with brands and their beginnings and what they've been featured in. Right. So there's all kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to go deeper, but I think we have to wrap up.
I do think we have to wrap up. It's been a pleasure to come on and talk you through some of that and just about product placement in general.
Yeah, same. So if you're out there listening, go check out some of these movies that we've discussed and see if you can spot the product placement. Or maybe if you've got some other suggestions, put them in the comments and
let us
see if
know.
You can give us some trivia.
Yeah, yeah, please do.
All right. Well, thanks, Zane, for coming on and bringing your watch collection.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to English Roundtable, made possible by Kanda Geigo Career College in Tokyo, Japan. If you enjoyed hearing natural English conversation, subscribe and like us wherever you're listening, and check us out on YouTube, Twitter, and our other SNS platforms, which will be in the description for this episode. Head over to the YouTube page to see some of the keywords we used in the conversation and other activities to test your English listening skills. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.